There we are. All right, I want to talk to you tonight about it was started out to be qualities of a good missionary, but I think I'm going to call this who does God call to be a missionary? Who does God call to be a missionary? And we know that we missions emphasis all month. We talked we spent 5 weeks talking about good stewardship and things connected to stewardship. Preceding that, we talked about the tithe and explained what that was. And then this morning, we talked about the offering. What is the offering? And we laid that out. I really had intended to talk about what is, Old Testament, you might call it the dedicated thing, and the New Testament, grace giving, faith promise giving, whatever you would like to call this. But not so. I'll just tell you, I mean, we're not a huge congregation, you know. We're us, right? We're just us. And I believe this. I believe it's people just like us that God reaches into and pulls out missionaries to go serve around the world.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I believe if you want to know what kind of people God uses to be missionaries, just look around. Now, we know we have the Clarks here, but I say look past the Clarks and look around in this room. I guarantee you, in here are the makings of good missionaries.
Amen.
You believe that? You believe God could call someone from this room right now to be a missionary? I believe God is still calling. I think sometimes people in our day, we tend to overlook the calling or the call to be a missionary. I think it's there's nothing easy about being a missionary, but I don't necessarily think people are running from it. I think many times people are not sensitive or maybe not prepared or not ready or not made themselves available, if you will, to be a missionary. I want to talk about some of that tonight. And now our text is indeed Acts chapter 16. And if you're there, don't lose your place. I would like to look with me back over to John chapter 16. I want to point out something, the need. I want to show you the need for a missionary. Why on earth do we need a missionary? Why do we need someone to go to the gypsies or to this morning to East Africa or maybe wherever? Well, I have to tell you, I appreciated that Brother Clark didn't give us one location, so we can't get lost in the geography with him, purely about people. East Africa, we talked about that this morning, but it's not. It's really not about the geography of the thing. Listen, when God raises up someone and calls them and sends them, listen, it is about a people. God is about people. God loves people. And that's what this thing of missions is all about. Listen to John 16. I'm going to read to you verses 7 through 11. Jesus is telling us what it's going to be like when He goes away and the Holy Spirit comes. He calls Him the Comforter. That's one of His names, the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 7 through 11, it says, "Nevertheless," Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." I'm just going to tell you, if the Holy Spirit does not deliver that message, we're wasting our time presenting the gospel.
Amen.
Reprove means convict or convince. When we talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Bible really doesn't say it in those terms. This is it. It talks about the reproving of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is contained in that thought. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Hey, listen, before I get the gospel message to someone, before I go to them and convince them, y'all afraid I was going to fall off there, weren't you? I was, whether you were or not. Whether or not, when we go to someone with the gospel message, all we have is the preaching of the Word of God. We have the Bible and we have the message. Jesus saves, right? It's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection overcomes death and overcomes the grave. Sin in the grave, I should say. You ever hear somebody say you got to get them lost before you can get them saved? Hey, listen. Someone has to understand sin. Can't get saved if you don't believe you're a sinner. If you don't have a connection with that thought, with sin, you can't be saved. And righteousness. If I turn away from sin, what is there for me? What is there for me? If I do choose to abandon sin, is there anything better? Yes, beloved, there is righteousness. Hey, when I get saved, my sin is imputed to Christ. His righteousness is imputed to me. And then there's judgment. The message of the need to abandon sin for righteousness means nothing without the accountability of judgment. The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes to a person and they know they need something. Now, here in America, where there's churches everywhere and there are people going out soul winning, knocking on doors, we're about to start door-to-door visitation, weekly visitation, church-wide visitation, whatever you want to call it. We're about to start it in our church. That means people in our area will eventually, it'll be easy for God to bring us together. But let's put that person somewhere in the world that is neglected. We heard Chan McMillan talking about the 10:40 window a little bit, and others talk about it. And as you said, out there somewhere where missionaries have not gone, that someone over there responds to that Holy Spirit call. We have to believe He gets this to everybody. He says He reproves. How many? Who? He says the world. He reproves everybody. He convicts everybody. So if my response is the positive one, but I'm somewhere where there is no gospel preacher, how on earth am I going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? How am I going to hear the preaching? Doesn't Romans 10 say that there has to be a preacher in the Word of God? Right? So the only way that I can have the message delivered to me is if God raises up someone. You say, really, do you believe God raises up? So I believe that down to the bottom of my foot. I believe as quick as someone responds and cries out to God, not knowing exactly what the need is, but realizing sin, righteous judgment, there's something I need, an emptiness in my soul. I believe God raises up somebody and prepares them to get the Word. That's what I believe. I have good cause to believe that. I believe I can show you that in the Bible. Now, I'm going to move along to Acts chapter 9. If you will, I want to show you in Acts chapter 9 when Paul has first been saved. You remember the reluctant Ananias? Ananias wasn't convinced. He knew about Paul. And he wasn't Paul then. He was Saul of Tarsus. Man, he was a bad guy. He was a guy who had been killing people. And he was a bad guy in the name of God. I mean, he thought he was helping God by getting rid of these Christian folks. And he was wicked, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. All kinds of things we could say about Saul. And God tells Ananias, Christ says, you know, you need to go and you need to go to him. And he says, Lord, your humble servant. Can you imagine the feeling that, I mean, the feeling he's trying to portray or to put before God? I'll do anything you want me to do, but are you sure you have the right guy? I mean, you think about it. If Ananias is understanding God wrong on this, you know, when you're deep in your prayer time with God and you get it wrong, here his life would be on the line. Verse number 13, Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, go thy way. And he reveals to Ananias the calling that he has placed on Paul's life because he did not want him to fear for his life, or we suppose that's the reason why. But he reveals to him what he said to Paul. He says, "Go thy way, for he is," this apostle Paul, that we know him, at that time Saul of Tarsus, "he is a chosen vessel unto me." He says, "to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So there was a calling. He shared that with Ananias. The calling. Chosen vessel. That means God raised up one guy for this task. Whatever it's going to be, God had one man for the job. Chosen vessel. And then he said, "and the vessel is unto him," he says, "to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel." Now I said to you not long ago about that particular verse, the wonderful thing about God calling is that he has a specific people that he wants you to go to. There's always a people. There's always people. If God hasn't called anybody to just go live in a foreign country and have a good time. Amen. It'd be cool, wouldn't it? I mean, I knew when I was with another group, not Independent Baptist, but when I first got saved, and man, I knew of a missionary that went to Costa Rica, and he was living on a, he had a steady paycheck. The guy was driving around in a nice car, living in a nice house. Really, the reason they brought this guy home is because some folks went down there just kind of a surprise, but they were going to surprise him in a good way and learn that this guy had no ministry at all. He was just there enjoying the luxury of making the income that would be from here to there puts you in a luxury situation. And he was just enjoying that. Hey, God didn't call anybody to go live in a different country just to live in a different country. Right? I mean, it's not about a professional tourister. It's not like that. No, God has a people, and he has a plan and a purpose, and he has a desire, and he raises up someone to go to them. It's about a people. And so he says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer before my name's sake," or "for my name's sake." So listen, as I'm introducing this thought, I want you to know, God calls particular people. He calls particular people. Now, I have to tell you, I see you out there kind of sinking into the... I mean, I get it. It's late. So we're going to have to do jumping jacks for a few minutes before we go any further. I just want you to... No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do... Somebody said, I'm leaving. No, listen, we're not going to do jumping jacks. I just want you to wake up for a moment, hang in there, and we'll be done and lickety-split, I promise. So God calls particular people to give their lives to full-time ministry. Did you know that? God calls individuals, specific individuals, to give their lives to full-time ministry. He has a purpose. He calls specific individuals. So that's verse 15. Secondly, God knows who he will send you to. If God shows up in the meeting tonight, and really, if God don't show up in the meeting tonight, we might as well go home anyway. But if he shows up in the meeting tonight and puts his hand on you and says, "I want you to go." Hey, listen, God has somebody for you. He has a people for you. This is not about you and what you might want. God has a purpose. He has people that he wants to save. God knows who he'll send you to. He has a plan. Though he reveals the details to you as you go. Hey, I have to tell you, if we had known the details of the journey between getting called to preach and this pulpit, I'm just not sure I would have made it. I'm telling you what. This, are y'all following what I just said? There is nothing easy about the ministry. But what I can tell you is this. There is nothing like being where God wants you to be. Nothing at all. You say, well, what about us? I'm telling you, if God wants you to be on the job, nothing like being on a job, witnessing to people day by day. All I'm saying is, when God raises you up, He has a plan for you. But He probably will not reveal it to you until the time comes. He'll tell you about the people. He'll tell you what's going to happen in that respect. But the details of it, He withholds. That's verse 16. He says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer." Suffering great? Are you serious? Wait a minute. Did he just say, "I will show you what great things he must suffer for my name's sake"? Did you catch that? There is no greatness with God without some little bit of suffering. Did I just say without some little bit of suffering? That's not the way you say that. Acts chapter 16. I'm trying to move you through the introduction quickly so we can get to the message. Book of Acts chapter 16. I just have 7 points, 16 sub-points, and we'll be done. I'm not kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I am kidding. Okay. Brother Rich read the passage to us a little bit earlier, verses 6 through 15. Sometimes, did you notice in this passage that Paul and his group were headed to Asia? Actually, they were in Asia. They were in Asia Minor, but they were headed further in. But God wouldn't, the Holy Spirit would not let them preach in Asia. So they turned around. If you follow the locations on the map, they came back across through Galatia. They came back across the upper part of Asia Minor, down to a city called Troas, right there on the coast. And he got the call. I want you to know that sometimes God changes the course. And in this case, of a missionary. He was already a missionary. Sometimes, I just want you to see some things about a missionary. Sometimes God changes the course of a missionary. Sometimes He'll have you moving in this direction, but He will show up one day and reveal to you that you must turn and go in the other direction. He just does that. In verses 6 and 7, they're not allowed to go in Asia as was their plan. It says at the end of verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Say, would God ever forbid you to preach the word? I heard a preacher say one time, Spirit-filled message is an expository message right out of this book. And that's what Spirit-filled preaching is. No, beloved, God may tell you not to preach. That's what he told Paul. Listen, God has a message for the right people. He has something for the guy to preach. God's specific about these things. They're not allowed to go into Asia as was their plan. They tried to follow their original plan. They tried to go in. But they tried another way of approaching, and they tried different things. Listen, God knows how to change our course if we need our course changed. And He does. He does. That's an interesting thought. In verse number 9, the Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. I spent a lot of time with that verse. And I've always thought Paul was asleep. It really doesn't say Paul was asleep. I've been thinking on this. If Paul was headed this way, could you imagine being a preacher and having the Holy Ghost reveal to you, and someone like the Apostle Paul, and having the Holy Ghost reveal to you that He does not want you to preach in the place where you think you're supposed to go? What would you do with your time if that was the case? Would you not be up at night seeking God and praying and trying to find out what's going on? I've come to the place that I think Paul was seeking God, and God appeared to him in a vision while he was seeking God. Whether or not Paul was seeking God, when the God was done with him, he charted a new course and went in an entirely different direction. And of course, the Macedonian call, we sing about it in Send the Light, and the Macedonian call results in Europe getting the gospel and ultimately the Americas, and thank God for the Macedonian call. All of that is true. But because Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God as a missionary. My whole point there is sometimes God changes a person's course in order to make a missionary out of them or move the missionary to another place. Second thing I want you to see, there's really only three. I promise. There's really only three. 3 points. Tomorrow's missionaries are serving somewhere today. The missionary of tomorrow is somewhere serving and growing in the Lord in their service for Him. God doesn't put His hand on someone who is not serving and say, "I want you to be a missionary." He doesn't do that. The one who's doing nothing for Christ is not the one who tomorrow will be doing big things for Him. It takes faithfulness over here for God to say, "Okay, let's go higher with this. I'm taking you over here." It takes a faithful servant to be that person. Paul in verse number 6 was already in Asia Minor and he was a missionary. God called somebody who was already doing the work. I've seen a lot of, ran up on a lot of folks calling me a missionary. I know a lot of missionaries. I don't know a single missionary that was called and moved out of a church who did not have time under their belt of doing the ministry in that church first. God doesn't call people and raise them up who are not already serving Him. Hey, listen, do you know that a missionary is really, they are extraordinary people. I think they're very special people. But I have to tell you this, the missionary is not doing something over there that's beyond what we're doing here. They're simply doing the same thing over wherever and the people they're reaching that we are doing here. The soul-winning efforts, the winning people to Christ, bringing them in and seeing people baptized, assimilated into the church, growing in the Lord. All of that is the work of missions. But it's no more than we do here. What they do there is what we do here. One who is not faithful here will not go there. All I'm saying is that the missionary of tomorrow is faithfully serving today right where they are. And not only that, something I've noticed about missionaries, it doesn't look different over there to them than it does here. In other words, it's not about the place. It's not an infatuation with the place they're going to. What the missionary is a person who is sold on the gospel message that they're presenting here, and now God's given them a different people to take it to. God didn't call someone who is not already serving the Lord. God called someone to preach the gospel in Europe as He had already been doing in Asia. Third thing I wanted to point out, and we'll be done. A missionary's vision comes from God. A missionary's vision comes from God. This message is intended to be almost overbearingly simple. Because I really just want you to get the simple thought that anybody can be a missionary. It's just whether or not we aspire to become that. We've kind of covered all of that already. This last thought, though, the vision for the missionary comes from God. He gives the missionary direction. Verses 6 and 7 says, let me find my spot over here. "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, were assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." If you notice in that little reading, the Holy Spirit directs the missionary away from some places. Did you see that? There are some places He does not want the missionary. And then in that passage, he directs the missionary to the right place. Did you catch that? In the passage, he moves them away from where he does not want them and into the place he does want them. That's not to say the Holy Ghost doesn't want people over in Asia to get saved. It's just not the job of the one he's talking to here. Only God knows where he will plant the next church. It's not up to us. God gives a missionary direction. I told you I was mentioning some things I've noticed about missionaries and from the Scripture. This is one of them. God gives the missionary direction. Another thing under that is a second thing. God has a missionary for a people and a people for a missionary. He does. He leads the right missionary to the right people. Verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So he leads the right missionary to the right people. And those people, something else about people. And this is what I'm saying tonight is so simple. It's the stuff that you've heard so often and so many times, but it's true. That the missionary, that the people that the missionaries are there to reach are individuals like you and me. They're individuals like you and me, and they have a job, and they have a community and friends. Verses 14, and so they have a job, they have an income, they have friends and community that they connect with and associate with. They have their lives that they live. I see you all reading that. It says a certain woman named Lydia in verse 14, a seller of purple. Well, she has a job in the city of Thyatira. She has a community which worship God. Heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened. So they're not only people with a job and a community, normal people, the people that God takes leads. The reason God leads a missionary to them is because He's already gone there with the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. He's already visited and prepared the hearts. The reason it's important for the missionary to get to that place God's called him to, and God don't change His mind about that. God intends for them to get there because He's already prepared the heart and mind of the people that He's going to, so He may reach them with the gospel. It's important for the missionary to get where he's going. They've responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, they have families. They have families. The Bible says, "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us." She has a family. The people we're going to as missionaries have families. They're people. They're people. God provides for the needs of everyone when the missionary goes. Did you know that? He provides for the needs of the people. He provides for everyone. In verse number 13 through 15, the Bible says, "On the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.' And she constrained us." Now they had a need for a place to stay and a place to start what they were doing. And she provided them with that. But before that, through them, God provided her with salvation and her whole household. What I'm saying is when you go where God wants you to go and do what God wants you to do, all things are taken care of. God will provide. God will provide. Now, if Paul had persisted in going on to Asia, I just don't think we'd have had that same kind of story in the Bible. Paul was sensitive to the Holy Ghost and followed him where he was supposed to go. So God provides for the needs for everyone when the missionary goes. And the last thing that I wanted to point out, the third thing under this whole thought, is God gives a missionary a message. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So the missionary knew exactly what message God would have him deliver. He knew what the mission was. He knew what the message was. The thought I'm moving across tonight, and so God calls people to be missionaries. God raises up people who are already being faithful and doing the work. God raises up people to go be missionaries. God raises up people in churches just like this one to be missionaries. And God provides all along the way. When we do what God said do, He provides all along the way. He'll lead us and give us direction. And when we get there, He'll provide for everyone involved. Now, before you go, it's likely you won't know what God's going to do to provide. Yet He does. So my question for you tonight, and as I said, I intended this just to be a very simple message. And that's what it is. Here's the question. Do you think God might call you to be a missionary? Do you think that if you were to go home and seek God tonight, that you might catch a vision in the night of a people who needs a missionary, people who need the gospel? Do you think that could be you? What if, right here in our missions emphasis, right here in March, what if God were to touch someone's heart and raise up a missionary in our midst? Somebody, it would mean someone out there needs the gospel. Someone out there needs a church. Someone out there needs what a missionary brings to the table. I wonder what God might do with us. Say, "Preacher, now I can't go to the altar tonight because they're going to think I want to be a missionary." No, don't think that way. Listen, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, let Him have His way with you. Just whatever it might be. We're keeping the subject matter all along missions. And God will move my heart in a different direction, I'm sure, in weeks to come. Right now, this is where our thought processes are. Why not see if God might have a mission for you somewhere? Would it hurt a thing to come and pray and ask God, "Would you call me to be a missionary?" What could it hurt? What could it hurt? Listen, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. We'll ask our musicians to come and begin playing. As soon as you get there, go ahead and begin playing. In response to this simple message, just a simple thought, maybe God would have you be a missionary, or maybe God has a plan for you that's beyond your understanding. Hey, listen, it's people just like us that God raises up to be missionaries. Could that be that God has something for you that's beyond your understanding? May not even be missions. Maybe He just wants you to work in the church somewhere. Maybe something like that is going on. Maybe God just has a mission for you. Listen, I'll go ahead and begin playing as soon as you're ready. Listen, I'm going to invite you right now. Many have already come to the altar. Listen, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, why not just step out into the aisle and make your way down the aisle to this old-fashioned altar. You can kneel and pray. Let God have His way with you. Just because you come, we won't think you're going to be a missionary, I promise. But if God's speaking to your heart tonight, why not come? Simple message, simple invitation, a simple thought.